Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is good to be here tonight. I know I was thinking the same thing that Brother Samuel said just a few minutes ago. You know, it just is so wonderful to kind of get away from all the happenings of this world. And it just was hitting me just beautifully, it seemed like, when I just sat down to play the piano and just, you know, a song, the presence of the Lord is in this place, begin to come to me. And you know, the thing is, when we get into the presence of the Lord, we find a refuge in Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's away from all the cares of this world and all the goings on and all the foolishness and all the evil that's surrounding us. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to turn our eyes upon Jesus and to look full on His wonderful face. And surely the things of this world, just, they begin to disappear. They begin to dissipate, you know. And praise the Lord, we begin to see with eyes of faith, to look beyond this world and all the trouble and all the heartache and all the things that seem like they're going wrong. But praise the Lord, it is a wonderful thing to, oh yes, have such an opportunity to come here, oh yes, to, you know, put our minds upon the things of God and to be able to sing His praises and to worship Him and, oh yes, to meditate upon the wonderful words of life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this place of worship. We thank you for this time that is set aside to praise thee, Lord, to worship thee, to honor thee, Lord. Oh, God, to dwell on the things that are above, Lord, not on the things of this world. And I pray, oh, God, that you'd help us, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd move in us. I pray, oh, God, that we would find that place in you, Lord. Oh, God, that your presence would come down. Lord, you know the needs of your people, Lord. And, oh, God, you know how, oh, God, to touch each and every individual, Lord, that their needs might be met, oh, Lord. Oh, God, for thou art a mighty God. There is nothing too hard for you, Lord. And we are so privileged to serve you, Lord. We are so privileged to know thee, Lord. Oh, God, we're so privileged to have thy promises. Oh, Lord Jesus, be here, Lord. Oh, God, be here, Lord. Feed us, oh, Lord, with thy words from heaven, Lord. Talk to our hearts. Oh, God, let there be a move of the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. Oh, we need you, Lord. And I ask that you would move in the name of Jesus, that you'd help us here tonight. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that our minds would be set on things above and not on things of this earth, Lord. That you'd help us, Lord, to find that place in you, Lord. Let thy presence come down, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know how to meet the needs of your people. Oh, God, you know how to satisfy the souls. Oh, God, you know how, oh, God, to touch those that are depressed and lonely. Oh, God, feel forsaken, Lord. Oh, God, you know, oh, God, how to breathe upon them, Lord. Oh, thy precious Spirit, thy Holy Ghost, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, God. Oh, God, you satisfy the longing soul, Lord. And I pray that you work here tonight. I pray, oh God, that your will would be done, Lord. I pray that you lift up those that are heavy-hearted, those that are burdened, oh Lord, those that have sicknesses and illnesses. Oh God, financial difficulties, Lord. You know all the cares of this world that pile high at times, Lord, but help us, Lord. Oh God, move here tonight, Lord Jesus. Let thy will be done, Lord. Oh God, we give you this service, Lord. I ask that you would work, Lord, that the, oh, you'd have recourse, Lord, to minister, Lord. Oh, that thy will would be done. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message here tonight, A Time to Stand. A Time to Stand. And just going to read one verse, as far as I know here, from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. This verse has been on my heart quite a bit lately. Let's just look here a minute. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, in verse 7. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Oh, praise the Lord. What a realization that is as we see all these things coming upon the face of the earth. And yes, you know, Peter wrote it so many centuries ago. But praise the Lord, he could feel it too. But now, oh my, what we are seeing is so phenomenal. Oh, it's like the book of Revelation is opened up and oh my, it's just tumbling out, it seems like, out of the pages. But oh yes, this warning here, this exhortation here, telling us the end of all things is at hand, and that need to be sober and to watch unto prayer. Oh, Jesus talked about his return so many times in his stories and that he told as he was on this earth. And you know, it's such a stress point. The prophets of old talked about the day of the Lord so many times. It's just amazing how many times that comes up in the scripture. But praise the Lord, it's going to happen one of these days. Oh, yes, he's going to come quickly as a thief in the night, all at once. Oh, yes, he's going to be here. We're going to hear that sound of the trumpets. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, that shout from heaven. Oh, my, there's going to be no mistake when our Lord returns that second time. There's going to be no misunderstanding of what is happening at that moment. It's going to be so clear and so known that we're all going to know without a doubt what is indeed happening. Oh, praise the Lord. But oh yes, there is such a need for us to watch unto prayer, to be sober, to give our attention unto the things that are needful for this moment, for this hour. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knows the time of His coming. But oh yes, we are to watch. We are to wait. We are to be guarded against the things of this world. We are to keep our lamps trimmed and burning. Oh yes. As we've been told again and again. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to read a little bit here from the 12th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And here again, you know, it's another serious portion of Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. It says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustedest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" Oh my, again, just a lot to contemplate here. You know, we've known peaceful times, relatively peaceful times, these last several years, as far as that goes. Oh yes, there's been rumors of war, you know, there's been turbulences here and there and all that, but you know, it's been relatively a time of prosperity for the most part. I know there's always been, you know, other problems and situations and struggles and all of that, but relatively it's been, you know, pretty good here in this land of the United States. So, you know, I would say, you know, generally we could say that we've been running with the footmen. But, you know, there's a question here. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, and I think we all know, you know, yeah, there's times and, you know, my, it's like the troubles have overwhelmed and all. You know, the struggles and, oh, sometimes it's pain and all kinds of health conflicts and all kinds of weariness, things that don't seem like they're working like they need to and all that. But if we've been wearied at these kind of times, there's a question then, how canst thou contend with horses? You know, horses are a lot harder to keep up with than footmen. And so there's a question here, something to contemplate. Horses would denote a time of war. And you know, yet a time when things could indeed be very, very bleak. And, you know, certainly not knowing what the morrow may hold. But then, yes, it says, and if then the land of peace wherein thou trustedest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? And we know that that term swelling of Jordan refers to the very end time scenario, the battle of Armageddon and all the things that come to pass at the very end. Oh yes, when this world is turned around, when it's in chaos, and oh yes, the nations of this world gather to, oh yes, to war against God and His people. Oh my, what a thing. What a thing. Let's go to also the Gospel of the Book of Luke here. Chapter 17, praise God. Luke chapter 17. And yes, again, we're dealing with the end times. And there is one thing that we know, that Jesus compared these end times to the days of Noah and to the days of Lot. And, you know, that comes to mind quite often. We often have referred to these references. But let's just look at it right now, just again here. Luke chapter 17, starting with verse 26 here. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Very interesting here. Sounds like the times were rather normal there in the time of Noah there. They were just doing things that they always did. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying wives, they were given in marriage, till suddenly something stopped. Suddenly it was over. Suddenly, oh yes, everything changed. And, you know, we know from the references in the book of Genesis that God saw great wickedness at that time. Oh, yes, it tells us in Genesis chapter 6 that God saw that their wickedness was very great on the earth. Verse 5 here says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I'll tell you what, this was a grief to the Lord. Oh, this was his creation. These were, you know, what God had wrought when he created the earth. And here it come to this point where instead of people keeping their minds or eyes focused on God, they were imagining extremely nasty, wicked things, and to the point that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart were only wicked continuously, only evil continuously. And it tells us in verse 6 here, in the 6th chapter of Genesis, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at heart. And, you know, it was such a vexation to God that he said in verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And, oh, yes, we know that, thank God, there was a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It tells us Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Oh, some very telling scripture here, in spite of the way that everyone else had gone, he had managed to walk with the Lord yet and keep his generations walking with the Lord also. Tells us in verse 10, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it tells us, verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. That was the world of Noah at that point. All the corruptness, the evil, all the violence, all those characteristics, their thoughts wicked continuously. Oh, it was such a grievous, horrendous thing that God no longer wanted to put up with it. Oh my, except that there was a man who found grace in his eyes. Otherwise, God was going to destroy it in its entirety, which he did, except for Noah and those that were in the ark. Oh my. But yes, this 17th chapter of the book of Luke, yes, tells us that the coming of the Lord Jesus would be as the days of Noah. And yes, although it does describe things that sound normal, in verse 27, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage to the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Yes, we know all the thoughts of their heart, the wickedness, the violence was very great. And then it goes on to compare the days of the coming of the Lord to the time of Lot. It says in verse 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And of course, we know there were major problems in the days of Lot. Oh my, it was a horrible time as far as what was going on. And again, Sodom and Gomorrah were so evil that God was going to destroy those cities. But praise the Lord, again, there was a man who was just, who lived among them. And God made a way of escape for Lot before he rained down that fire and brimstone upon the people. But we know that all the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah were so horrendous that when God had sent his angel into Sodom, that, you know, you know, they called upon Lot, and Lot had invited them into his home as a sanctuary. And yet we know because of the great evil, those individuals that lived in that city were so full of sodomy that they went to the door of Lot's dwelling and banged it out, so to speak. Oh, yes. That they were, you know, just entreating Lot to bring out those men that had come as visitors into his dwelling. And, you know, their intentions were horrendous. They were evil. And yes, they wanted to know these. They wanted to engage with homosexual acts. And it was a horrible thing. But praise the Lord, the Lord had that door shut, and Lot was spared, and the angels, of course, likewise. And we know the end of that story, that God rained down fire and brimstone upon those wicked cities once Lot was out. But there's another thing that we can tell here in these examples here pertaining to Noah and then to Lot. When God's judgment came, it came very quickly, very swiftly, immediately. You know, Lot was out and he was, you know, at a distance so that he was in safety. And, of course, we know his wife was with him and his two daughters. His wife looked back and became a pillar of salt as God began to rain down that judgment. But we see how quickly that all followed. And, oh, yes, we know in the Scripture it's been said many times, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Oh, yes, it's going to come immediately when God puts forth his sickle and reaps this earth when time is over. Oh, yes, that fulfillment is at hand. It's going to come very suddenly, very abruptly. So many people are going to be taken unaware. Oh, they're not going to be aware that the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand. They're going to be indulging in the things that they love to do. Oh, all those things that seem like normality to them. But oh, we have these warnings here. We have these warnings here, this great need, oh, to turn to God while we still have time. It's a time to stand right now, a time to stand fast before judgment falls. I turned here to 2 Peter, that second chapter. And oh, yes, it talks about the pending judgment of God in the second chapter of 2 Peter. And it tells us in verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Oh, yes, indeed, it's going to fall, God's judgment, just as, oh, yes, that time when, oh, yes, the rain began to fall in the days of Noah, and only those that were on that ark, safely in that ark, were spared. Oh, yes, and oh, how God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, oh, condemning them that lived there and making them an example. I think we better fear God. I think we better look hard and long at the things that God expects. I think we better give Him our attention right now. This is a time to stand. This is a time, oh yes, to walk with God. This is a time to look up. Oh, how we need to do that. You know, Sister Shirley had sent me an article by email, and you know, I was thinking of that as I was preparing my message here today, and you know, this. Message that she sent, this email pertained to the Skittles company. It's from Mars, is the one that makes these little candies. I think probably everybody knows what Skittles are. But all this Mars company is very orientated toward the homosexual realm. And they've got a thing, you know, June is supposed to be Pride Month, Gay Pride Month. And oh my, how abominable that is in the sight of God. Oh, I tell you, again, if you know, Sodom and Gomorrah were an example of God's wrath and how God feels, I think we better have, you know, we better pay attention right now. We better pay attention, oh yes, to what's happening in this world right now. But anyway, typically Skittles are colorful, various colors. But they decided to give up their rainbow right now because their slogan, right now this Mars company is only one rainbow matters during Pride. And oh, how pathetic. They're speaking of a rainbow that doesn't matter at all in the eyes of God, except that he's going to rain his judgment upon it. But that's the rainbow that the lesbian and gay and bisexual and transgender people all look to. And oh my, isn't that something? So they've got this slogan, and so they came out with these little Skittles that are gray colored. Oh yes, for this event, you know, they're giving up their rainbow, so to speak, so that they can either do something, you know, on behalf of the homosexuals. Oh, what a pity. Pathetic thing. Oh yes, and oh yes, if you would buy some of this candy, a dollar of it would be given to the GLAAD people, the GLAD, whatever people, the gay, lesbian, and so on people. How sick. How very sick. But that's the world that we live in right now. And oh my, it is something to give heed to, because we are told very clearly here in this 17th chapter of the book of Luke that, you know, as it was in the time of Noah, and yes, the violence. Oh, we know what has come forth in this world that we live in right now with events that happened, you know, just in the last days here. Oh my, all at once, a lot of violence. Suddenly, COVID isn't so much in the forefront, but instead, oh, you have all these people protesting and ganging up. I know it was terrible last week in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Oh, yes, it was horrible. We're going about and stirring up all kinds of trouble and burning buildings and oh, causing all kinds of violence and oh my, just the people who had places of business had to board them up. Some of them closed, and you know, it wasn't a safe environment to walk in by any means. But that's the world that we're seeing right now. Oh my, how quickly things change, and oh, how quickly things are given over to violence. And oh yes, how out of hand things can be in a moment of time. And as we know, yes, what we have seen happen in this world, oh yes, when it pertains to those events that were likened unto the days of Lot, oh, how we're seeing that same spirit, oh, so strong in this world that we live in today. I'll tell you what, our God doesn't change. What was an abomination to him in the past is an abomination to him right now. That is right. You know, he doesn't wink at these things. You know, he doesn't consider these to be nice things that, you know, people can't help. No, he takes another look at this. Oh, yes, he looks at the filth of this world and all the abominations. And oh, yes, the things that are going on in the hearts. And oh, my, there is a time when his wrath is going to be poured out, oh, like we've never known before, in a way that the world has never experienced. And oh my, it's going to come suddenly. It's going to be sudden destruction. And oh my, there's not going to be a warning other than what we have right now in the Word of God, other than what righteous preachers and Christians are proclaiming. oh yes, that indeed we better repent. We better give our hearts to the Lord. We better get right with God. He's going to come again. Oh, He's going to come again. He came the first time to seek and to save those that are lost, but He's coming again to judge this world in righteousness. Oh yes, He will gather His elect home. Oh yes, He will gather His people. But oh yes, it's going to be that time of judgment. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh yes, these events are forthcoming. This time is at hand and it's time to give heed. It is a time to take heed like never before. Oh, praise our God. It describes this coming scenario in Jeremiah chapter 25. I just want to read a little portion of it here right now. Jeremiah chapter 25, starting with verse 30. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter His voice from His holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon His habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Oh yes, the great day of the Lord, the prophets declared it, they spoke of it. Oh yes, that roar from heaven, that a shout from heaven. Oh yes, as God comes back. Oh yes, to judge this world in righteousness. Oh, it's going to be us, as we said, very suddenly, very swiftly. Oh, that judgment when it comes. I know Joel, the third chapter, talks about it too. Oh, so many of the prophets proclaimed the day of the Lord, the day of His return, when He comes, oh, to judge this world in righteousness. Oh, it tells us here in Joel, the third chapter, verse 11. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. Gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. You see, it's come to that point where judgment must fall. It's come to the full, and oh, it's tipping over. It's brimming over with the evil, with the wickedness. And God is going to reap this earth. Oh, He's going to gather His harvest. Oh, yes, but He's also going to put in the sickle. Oh, yes. For that time of the press being full, the fats overflow, the wickedness being so great. And here we are, I believe 14 describes the moment right now. Oh, you can see it. I can see it on faces. Some people, you can tell, they're confused and they don't know how to think and they need hope. And there's others whose hearts have been so turned to wickedness and unbelief, and they've got an agenda, and oh yes, it's their big aim and desire to turn this world into one world and to bring about all the things in their agenda. Oh yes, that control factor and everything else. I think verse 14 describes the situation at hand. It says multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Oh, it's going to come. We don't know the day or the hour, but we can see signs. Oh, we can see evidence that the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Oh, yes, and that need to get ready, to prepare our hearts. Oh, yes, to fall on our knees while we yet have a moment to do so. Oh, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Which way are you going to go? Oh, are you going to follow through and serve the Lord? Repent and turn to Him while you still have time? Or are you going to be as those that are on the left? Oh, yes, who neglect that day of salvation and turn to the wickedness of this world? Oh, it's going to be one way or the other. There's no in-between when it comes to God's judgment. Verse 15 tells us, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Here's this description again. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. I like that last portion. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's going to be a people, oh, whose lamps are trimmed and burning, who are waiting for their Lord to come back. And He's going to be the hope of our hearts. Tells us that the Lord will be the hope of His people. Oh, we have a wonderful hope in Jesus. This world is caving in. It's falling apart. Oh, we can see all the evil on every side. And we can, oh, see that, oh, Lord, that there's a balance. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, a great need to turn over to the living God and get right before, oh, everything is weighed in the balance. And oh, if you're not wrought in Christ, you're going to be found wanting. Oh, how sad it will be. But the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Oh, we know how that description goes there. Also, the book of Peter there. Oh, praise the Lord. 2 Peter, that third chapter. Oh, yes. It tells us in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. His hand is holding out in mercy right now. He is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. It tells us He hath long patience until He receives the early and the latter rain. Oh, yes, until His harvest is complete. And He is not slack concerning that promise of His coming, as men count slackness. But yes, He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, that's the nature of God. He doesn't want to send people to hell. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. It was not initially made for man. But we know because of sin, because of the hardness of heart, because of all the evil that hell hath enlarged herself without measure. Oh my. But it goes on to describe the day of the Lord. Verse 10 here in 2 Peter chapter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We've got to have this foremost in our minds, in our hearts. If the day of the Lord is coming, all these things of this earth are going to be dissolved. They are going to be burnt up. They are no longer going to be in existence. The Lord is coming. Tells us in verse 12, look ye for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Oh, it's all going to go away. Everything in this world consists of elements. And wow, if they're dissolved, then there's nothing left, is there? But praise the Lord, there's a hope. There is a hope for the children of God. Oh, there's a hope deep within. Our God is coming. Oh, we know He's coming, but He's going to be the hope of children of Israel. Tells us in verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, that's the hope of the children of God. Oh, those of us who have found the living waters, those of us that have found God as our Lord and Savior, the Israel of God. Praise the Lord, His New Testament people. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We are looking according to His promise for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, there'll be no sin in that place where we're headed. Oh, there'll be no more anguish. There'll be no destruction. Oh my, there'll be no more bitterness. There'll be no more evil. Oh, all of that will be of the past. Oh, sickness and pain and all the suffering of this world will be gone. Praise the Lord. Oh, we are looking for that new heavens and that new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. It tells us in verse 14 here, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, be diligent, be watchful, be careful, be cautious, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, what is it going to be worth to see the Lord and, oh yes, have our sins totally taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ? Oh, what is that going to mean at that moment to be found in Jesus? Oh, yes, to be found in peace without spot and blameless in the sight of God. Oh, praise the Lord, all those sins and transgressions forgiven and taken away, all covered by the righteousness of our God. What is it going to mean at that moment? Oh, when we stand before God, it's going to mean everything that we can possibly think of to be right in the sight of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Oh, praise the Lord. He's going to come. And oh, yes. All the evil that came about because of sin, all of that will no longer be a part of our world at all. Praise the Lord. The curses that were put upon this earth when sin came into this world. The curses that were put upon man. The curses that were put upon woman. Oh yes, the curses that were put upon the creatures. All of that will be nothing at that point. It'll be completely removed. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's going to be worth everything to be right in the sight of God. Oh, to be able to stand before Him and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But here we are, these moments of great evil, these moments of great conflict, these moments of great burdens, all the things that we are seeing at this moment. And if we ever needed to stand fast, it's now. there were a time that we needed to be cautious, careful, diligent, right in the sight of God. It's right now. There's ever a time that we needed to wear the armor of God. It's right now. And yes, let's go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Yes, I'm plan to call this message a time to stand. And yes, how we need to stand at these moments. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us how to stand in these evil times. Praise our God. Let's look at verse 10 here as we read this portion of Scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh, we know that we have an adversary, and he has watched mankind for a long time. And he can be pretty cunning. But praise the Lord has given us a way that we don't have to fall into confusion. We don't have to be taken over by his devices. And we know that from what the Scripture tells us, this end time is a time of great deception, a time of deceit, when the enemy, who knows he has but a short time, is running roughshod over this world and stirring up the masses to the best of his ability. And trying to make an impact. Turning here for a moment to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Looking at verse 6 and onward here, it tells us in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, aren't you glad tonight? Our loving Savior who cares about us, who loves us so much that he freely gave his life that we might have salvation, that we might turn our hearts over to him, we might turn our troubles, our cares, our needs over to the living God. We can cast all our care upon him, knowing that he careth for you. Praise the Lord. But then we are warned in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, yes, he's a madman. Oh, he's walking as a roaring lion, ready to snap, ready to devour whomsoever he can, and all those tricks up his sleeve, so to speak, very crafty as it is. But praise the Lord has not left us defenseless. He has made a way that we can escape all the cunning of the devil. Amen? It says in verse 9, who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Oh yes, we're all in this world. And oh yes, none of us are free of struggles. None of us are free of afflictions. All of these things are part of life on this earth. But praise the Lord, God has given us a means that we can overcome the evil in this world. We can overcome the whims of the devil. We can overcome the wiles of the devil, as it describes it in Ephesians 6. Yes, we can resist steadfast in the faith. We can resist the devil and know that he will flee in the name of the Lord Jesus as we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Oh yes, if we're clothed in his righteousness, if we're walking in his truth, praise the Lord, if we have the armor of God on. Oh yes, we can resist him steadfast, notice, steadfast in the faith. Yes, we've got to have a focus that is proper. We've got to be into the Word. We've got to apply the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Yes. We've got to know our God. Amen. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world? Oh, yes. But it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. See, there's a reason for the afflictions of this world. There's a reason for trials and tests. We don't always get it. But praise the Lord, we can trust our shepherd. We can trust our Lord and know that He has a plan. He's using that to refine us, to make us what we ought to be. Oh, by His grace, yes, to make us perfect, yes. After that ye have suffered a while, as it tells us here in verse 10, make you perfect. He'll bring you to that place of maturity, all that place of perfection. Establish, strengthen, settle you. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, where our faith is established in the truth. And, oh, we are strengthened with His might from above. Oh, yes, and we're settled. We know in whom we have believed and are persuaded that He is able to keep that which we've committed unto Him against that day. Praise the Lord. We're settled in the truth. Oh, in His ways, in the promises of God. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Oh, praise the Lord, our wonderful God. Oh, praise the Lord. Back here in Ephesians 6, so yes, we are to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Praise the Lord, so we can resist him, so we can overcome. Praise the Lord by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, praise the Lord for the armor that He gives us to put on. It says in verse 12, for you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, yes. You might think, oh, yeah, those evil people out there and everything else, but oh, who's their father? Who's leading them? You know, who's the instigator? Oh, these are spiritual entities that we are fighting against. The devil and his cohorts. Oh, yes. His realm. All of that. All these things. Oh, these principalities and these powers. These spiritual things. These realms that we can't see. But, oh, yes, we can feel the oppression. And we can see all the consequences of such. But the Lord has given us a way to overcome the rulers of the darkness of this world against the spiritual wickedness in high places. So here it tells us in verse 13 here in Ephesians chapter 6. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. And it says the whole armor, not just a little part of it, not just some of it, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. In other words, to resist, oh, to oppose, to overcome, to withstand in the evil day. Huh. I think that describes right now. No, this is what we're up against. But the Lord has given us armor. Oh, yes, that we can wear. Praise the Lord. And so it tells us in verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Oh, praise the Lord, the truth of God's Word. Oh, yes, the truth that sets us free. The truth that brings us salvation. Oh, yes, the truth that comes against sin. Praise the Lord. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And oh, we know it's not our own righteousness. No, our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the eyes of God. Oh, yes, there's an unclean thing and all of that. But praise the Lord, He gives us His righteousness. Oh, when He covers us with His blood. Oh, when we turn to Him in repentance. When we turn our lives over to the Lord. When we obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord. And yes, that promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, oh, that seal of the mighty God, oh, that He puts upon His people, praise the Lord. So yes, we have on the breastplate of righteousness that He gives us, He clothes us. Oh yes, He covers us with His righteousness so that we'll be able to stand before Him. Oh yes, on that day of judgment. It tells us, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, we're preparing our hearts. Oh, we're preparing, oh, yes, our minds, so that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, that we can present to anyone that would ask us that hope that lieth within us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that's deep within us. We're preparing, oh, yes, to do this work. And it says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Oh, the shield of faith. Oh, without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Oh, praise the Lord, we've got to have faith. Oh, yes, the shield of faith. Oh, yes, we take this shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, praise the Lord, we hold that shield. Oh, up against our being, up against our minds. Praise the Lord, so that, oh, every dart that is aimed at us can be repelled. Praise the Lord, by the Spirit of the living God and His righteous blood that covers us. Praise the Lord, that faith, oh, faith, by faith all is well. By faith we stand in agreement with the voice of God. Oh, by faith we believe and trust in Almighty God. Oh, yes, we take it by faith and, oh, yes, attain His promises. Thank the Lord. So above all, we take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He's not going to send one that's too hard. He's not going to send one that we can't, by the blood of Jesus Christ, to quench. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, we need that wonderful helmet of salvation. We want to be clothed with His wonderful salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, that wonderful sword, that two-edged sword. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that cuts coming and going. Oh, yes, that great need we have, oh, yes, to take this armor. Oh, yes, that need to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. For our Heavenly Father, our great Savior, had so much zeal when He came to this world. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 59, oh, as it was describing, oh, yes, the great need for God to bring forth His Son into the world, to clothe Himself in flesh, to come into this world. Oh, there was such a need. It tells it here in Isaiah 59, verse 16. And He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore His arm brought salvation unto Him, and His righteousness, it sustained Him. Oh, praise the Lord. There was a need. There was a need. Oh, human beings, the human race just wandering around in their sin, without hope, without God, needing a Savior. And praise the Lord, God saw that there was no man, that there was no intercessor, there was none other that could bring forth salvation to save us from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord, to bring us back to God. There was no other way, so He put on righteousness. He put on salvation. His arm brought salvation unto him. He came as an extension. Oh, yes, an extension of Almighty God. Oh, the Son of God, the flesh of God, coming to this world to redeem us. Praise the Lord. There was no other way. There was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. And his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. Oh, his payback day when he comes to judge this world in righteousness. So it tells us, verse 19 here, Isaiah 59. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Oh, praise the Lord, aren't you glad? The enemy tries to overwhelm us at times. All those fiery darts that the devil tries to throw at us. But praise the Lord, oh, we've got the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, the Spirit of the Lord to lift up a standard against it. Oh, yes, that shield of faith to quench those fiery darts so that they are repelled, so that they cannot hit, they cannot make their goal. Oh, praise the Lord, because God is with us. Praise the Lord. God is with his people, and he has made a way that we could be clothed with his armor. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He came, didn't he? He came to redeem us. He came to save us. He came to make a way of escape so we wouldn't have to be condemned to the lake of fire. Praise the Lord. That's our wonderful God. Oh, wrought such a wonderful redemption, but came to this world, oh, with his zeal to seek and to save those that are lost. Oh, praise the Lord. And therefore, going back here to Ephesians 6, oh, that wonderful armor that he has given us. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. All these pieces that we want to, oh, yes, be sure that we are armored with, so that we can withstand the evil day. Oh, so that we can stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Oh, yes, not to be entangled in this world and the works of bondage and all the other things that are going on. The Lord has set us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's a freedom. It's a freedom from sin, from the oppression of the devil, from all the ways, all the darts, all the cunning, all the wickedness of this world. Oh, of the enemy. And praise the Lord, he teaches us how we can overcome here. Verse 18 here in Ephesians 6 tells us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. That great need that we have. Oh, yes, to take heed while we can, to stand while we can. Oh, yes, it tells us praying always. Pray without ceasing, we are told. You know that great need is always a prayer on our, in our heart, on our mind. And praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to give us this overcoming strength, how we can put on his armor, how we can pray always with all prayer and supplication, all these earnest requests unto Almighty God in the Spirit. And I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to pray in the Spirit. Oh, the Spirit that makes intercession for the things that we can't comprehend, that are beyond our understanding. Oh, the needs that we have. Oh, what a wonder it is. Oh, he gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, He put His Spirit within us. So, oh yes, we could be sealed with that Spirit of promise. Praise the Lord. And so when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it, as it tells us in Isaiah 59. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, He lifts up a standard. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, that makes intercession for us and made a way that, oh, we can also, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, oh yes, make contact with Almighty God. Praise the Lord, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, indeed, it is a time to stand. To stand in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Oh, yes, and oh, yes, to overcome all the things that are oppressing in this world. All the things that are overwhelming, all the struggles, all the tests. But yes, He gave us an armor that we can bear so that, oh, yes, we can overcome. Oh, yes, we put that armor on. So, oh, yes, we can withstand the evil day. Praise the Lord. We can stand against the wiles of the devil. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. He didn't leave us here without a means to overcome. He gave us, oh, yes, the ability through His power, through His strength, through His armor, all these things that He has provided for us so that we could overcome the wiles of the devil, the temptations of life, the struggles, all the vexations, all the pain, all the hurts, all the bondage. I mean, it goes on and on. This world is often not a very nice place, is it? But oh my, our God has made a way. He has not left us without an armor, without a means to stand and to resist the cunning of the devil. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. It tells us, as I get ready to close here, in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Verse 42 tells us, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Verse 44, therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to get them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, I praise the Lord that we don't have to go that route where we would be cut asunder and appointed our portion with the hypocrites. Oh, we never want to be of that side, on that left side, with the goat, so to speak, there in the day of judgment. But praise the Lord, we want to be likened unto a faithful and wise servant. Oh, yes, who the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. In other words, when our Lord comes, when our Savior comes back to this earth, we want to be found occupying. We want to be found doing His will, doing those things that He's put within us to do. Oh, yes, to make our time count. Yes, to do the will of God. Oh, yes, those things that, oh, yes, we do to make a stand for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Oh, I praise our God. He's made a way that, oh, we can escape the cunning of the devil, the devices of the devil. He's made a way that we can put on his armor, the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh, yes, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. Oh, yes, having done all to stand. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, if we will look to God, if we will seek His face, oh, yes, if we will do His will, oh, yes, we will put on that armor and walk in His ways. Praise the Lord. The Lord has made a way of escape. Praise the Lord. In spite of all the evil in this world, He's made a way that, oh yes, we can abide the day of His coming. Oh, praise the Lord that we can stand in His sight. And as that verse that I began with the study tonight, let's read it again. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Oh, praise the Lord. Put on that whole armor of God. And praise the Lord and withstand the evil of the devil. Praise the Lord, the wiles of the devil. Oh, praise the Lord, our God who has made a way. Praise the Lord that we can be victorious in spite of the evil, in spite of the devices of this wicked world. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that we can be accounted worthy to stand before our God and to be right in His sight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you talk to our hearts, that you'd help us. Oh, help us to be guarded. Help us not to forget. Help us to put on that armor, Lord. Help us to walk with you, Lord. I pray, Lord, if there's any that have not yet given their hearts and minds over to thee, Lord, I pray that, oh, Lord, they would make haste, even tonight, oh, Lord, to turn their hearts and minds over to thee. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, help us, give us that strength. Help us to overcome in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our melodies of praise hymnals to number 18 and sing The Solid Rock, number 18.
Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, and his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found. Rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Be safe. Keep standing. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.